This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 24th of April 2022, the eve of Anzac Day. Today is the new amateurs edition of News West. We take a peek at who's new to the hobby, and some of our items today were written to give useful information to newcomers and to remind old-timers alike. Because it's Anzac Day tomorrow, we've got an interesting story about the introduction of radio onto the battlefield in World War I. We've got reminders about Perth Tech and other things coming up in the short term, and there's Roy's amateur radio helpline and more. But first, a silent key tribute. Sadly, we report the passing of Ronald Arthur Brown, known to us as Ron, VK6 Hotel Romeo Bravo, VK6 HRB. Ron died on Good Friday, which was the 15th of April, this year, after a long illness. Ron was a long-time member of the Western Australia Repeater Group and the Hills Amateur Radio Group. Ron and his wife Dot were active members of the Albatross Radio Group, one of the oldest and longest-running citizen band radio clubs in the world. Ron operated the WA Repeater Group's shop for quite some time, and if you rocked up to his place to purchase some coax, you'd become engaged with a chat with Ron and Dot, and a coffee would most likely turn up. Ron and Dot would often be spotted at Hagfest operating the coffee and snacks department. Ron and Dot were keen caravanners for some years, with the van proudly parked out front of the house. Ron has left behind his wife, Dorothy, known as Dot, and two daughters and several grandchildren. On behalf of the amateur radio community, I offer the deepest sympathy to Dot and to the family. Vale, Ron, VK6, HRB, now silent key.
To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who gained and upgraded their license in the past month. In case you're wondering, there are 1,409 amateur licensees held in VK6 today, a gain of two licensees from last month. Please welcome at Foundation Martin, Jennifer, Oscar, Brad, Santiago, and Zarek, and Advanced, Ingelus, David, Alf and Alan, who probably won't hear this, as he is operating VK9 November Tango de-expedition station on Norfolk Island. For those new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio. And hey, if you hear them calling, say g'day. Offer congratulations and, of course, positive encouragement if they seem a bit diffident. Help them make some noise. So, let's keep the numbers growing. So come on and encourage someone you know who's keen but a bit reluctant to get their license.
Welcome to New Hams, and today I'm talking about maintaining the momentum. It's easy, isn't it, to take a huge leap? You're studying for a license, purchasing and building equipment, wondering which corner of the house will be your shack, and sorting out the wheat from the chaff when it comes to hearing other people's opinions and ideas about how this whole amateur radio thing works. After a time, you've commandeered a corner of the house, even if it is the doghouse, upset your neighbours by erecting antennas in your yard, and are getting some hard looks from your spouse for all those messy cables running into the house. It's a path we all tread. Somewhere along the line, these things become settled, or your spouse has become resigned and your neighbour given up. You've worked all the repeaters, done a bit of DX on HF, some FT8, slow scan TV, and now you've fallen a bit flat. You feel that your amateur radio activity is slowing down, maybe even it's become a bit jaded already. But fear not, it hasn't all been for nothing. By now, you should be seeing a pattern in what you like to do. Choose the two or three aspects of the hobby that you enjoy and focus on them. Look for new angles to pursue. These things that you choose to ramp up on don't have to be lifetime choices. Just give them some time and attention now and milk them for all they're worth. One day something else may grab your attention and you can reinvigorate your hobby again. Hobbies are meant to be enjoyable, so you need to put some effort into keeping it fresh and challenging. I'm Bob VK6POP.
There are many web-based resources to make our lives as hams a bit easier, or more complex. It all depends on how you look at it. In another item today, we've mentioned the Australian Bureau of Meteorology's Space Weather Services website. The address is sws.bom.gov.au. There's a wealth of space weather information there, including some educational resources to help you understand solar weather. There are lots of other websites devoted to space weather. However, there's at least one that pulls them all together. This is called SolarHam and is a page full of data, images and links to the sources of all information displayed. It especially shows sunspot images, data and a daily summary of what's happening sunspot-wise. This site is updated continually via its links and by the keeper of the page, Kevin, V-E-3-E-N, who's based in Ontario, Canada. The website for this site is solarham.net. This week, however, they were a bit premature in predicting a solar blackout for the Asia-Pacific region when none was occurring. VOACAP, spelt V-O-A-C-A-P, is the abbreviated name for the Voice of America Coverage Analysis Program. Little wonder they use an abbreviation. If you look at the main VOACAP page, there's some good info. And if you follow the link to software, you'll find a stack of stuff that still works, however much of it's no longer supported. Probably the most helpful site to look at is a live interactive information screen at voacap.com/HF. Here you can set the transmit and receive locations and a complex set of station details such as antenna type, transmit power and so forth, including the frequency of interest, and lots more to help inform the plot. Cutting a long story short, your predicted propagation is displayed on a world map. You need to be mindful that these are predictions and may exceed your wildest dreams or give you your biggest disappointment or somewhere in between. There's really no substitute for switching on your radio and listening around. Try listening to digital modes such as FT8, PSK, RTTY or Whisper. These seem to work long before voice modes become workable. And better still than listening is to get on air and make some noise.
This is VK6ARN and you're listening to News West.
Although this is not a history edition of News West, because it's Anzac Day tomorrow, it's a good time to look back at what radio operators had to contend with in the wars. And we'll take a look at World War One, because that's when radio became integrated with the military in its various forms. I'm reading from an article entitled Vintage Radio by Rodney VK3UG. And this comes from an edition of Silicon Chip magazine from February 2009. And I'll just read a paragraph or two out of this entire article. This paragraph is entitled Wireless in World War One. Wireless communications were first used by armies during World War One. Wireless had been around in its fledgling form since the turn of the century and was now sufficiently advanced enough for use by the military. However, it was not enthusiastically endorsed by all sections of the military because it was still relatively undeveloped. The main problems included the bulk and the weight of the equipment, its unreliability, and a lack of competent radio technicians to handle the gear. At that stage, wired telephones and telegraph systems were well developed and worked well. However, the amount of wiring needed between each communication site had grown enormously, and the system was inflexible due to the rapidly changing nature of the conflict. It didn't take long for many forward-thinking military leaders to realise that wireless was the way to go if communications with the front line were to be effective and timely. It was just a matter of waiting for suitable equipment to be developed. The first wireless sets in World War I were Marconi pack sets. These required 4 horses to carry each pack set, plus 5 or 6 men to set up a station, which took around 10 minutes. It then required 2 soldiers to operate it. The range was claimed to be around 50 kilometres. In 1915, another set called the BF was introduced, which had a range of around 17 kilometres. This meant that portable battery-operated spark transmitters with valve receivers were starting to be used at the front line. However, in 1915, portable meant that the set could be carried with difficulty by several soldiers. Most of the sets worked on quite low frequencies, which meant that their antennas were inefficient if made too small. For example, the Wilson spark transmitter worked on 3 wavelengths, 350 metres, 450 metres and 550 metres. However, some small spark transmitters operated on 65 and 80 metres. By this stage, some aircraft were also being equipped with transmitters to report conditions back to headquarters from behind the front lines and to adjust the fall of artillery. The WT-1 transmitter from 1916 was one of the sets used for this task. For the troops in the front line, progress in radio communications was slow but steady during World War I. During this time, low frequencies were still thought to be the most useful for long-distance communications, and it wasn't until the 1920s that amateur experimenters proved that shortwave, high-frequency communications were much more effective. Perhaps the most successful trench wireless during World War I was a unit developed by the British in 1917. This had a range of around 70 kilometres, but if it had used shortwave frequencies, it would have been well ahead for its era. However, it was still a good performer, and despite its limitations, it remained in service until the 1930s. Now, that's just a fragment of a larger article, and it's in the siliconchip.com.au back issue of the magazine, dated February 2009. It's a good read. And again, the author was Rodney, VK3UG, and there are some very interesting photographs in the article.
Robert, VK6, Foxtrot Romeo Lima Radio, was telling us of success he's had on the 10-metre band, which has been open to Europe and other regions lately. Operating on 10 watts, Rob recently made 5 Italian contacts, 1 Spanish contact, 1 VK3 contact, 1 JA contact, 2 SSTV VK2 contacts, all on the same day. Robert's a regular on SlowScan TV on 40, 10 and the 15-metre bands. He also makes regular checks around the bands and uses the hourly area predictions, the HAP charts, as a guide to propagation for all bands. The HAP charts can be found at the Bureau of Meteorology's Space Weather Services site, sws.bom.gov.au. The current solar cycle has been good for radio propagation, which is there for the taking for those who get on air and have a go. He's also experimented with receiving NOAA weather satellite images by using a cheap SDR, WX to IMG software, VE cable, SDR software, and a QFH 137 antenna. Robert said that there are plenty of options available for new hams and that they don't cost an arm and a leg.
Elsewhere in this program, we mentioned the Solar Ham website. I was looking at it just recently and the solar flux index was a whopping 160-something. The sun is certainly on the boil and it's providing a bonus to us in good DX results. There's no excuse, just get on air and do it. We're still open for suggestions for the practical workshops on the Sunday of the Perth Tech weekend. What would you be interested in learning or having a go at? Anything goes, so suggest away. You'll find the link at the Perth Tech page at vk6.net. Everyone that makes a suggestion will go into the draw for a chance to win free entry to Perth Tech's Saturday program, and that's $20, so there is such a thing as a free lunch. This coming Wednesday, April the 27th, is International Morse Code Day. It's always on the same day every year because it's Samuel Morse's birthday. In 1836, Samuel Morse and his compatriots Alfred Vail and Joseph Henry developed Morse code. On January the 11th, 1838, Samuel Morse and Alfred Vail demonstrated the use of the electric telegraph to transmit a message in Morse code for the first time. The Peel Amateur Radio Group will be holding an event to celebrate International Morse Code Day on Wednesday, but they're not quite sure what it is just yet. So look up their website, parg.org.au. That's Papa Alfa Romeo Golf.org.au, and then select the What's New menu item. And I have it on good authority that there will be an announcement about what's happening for Wednesday, the 27th, which is International Morse Code Day. Now, here's one for WIA members. The annual general meeting and virtual conference are coming up soon on May the 7th. Both are online on Zoom. The annual general meeting is for members only and registration to attend is necessary. The virtual conference comes afterwards on the same day, and again, attendance is by registration, and there's a $10 fee for this one. It sounds interesting. The presentations are about Antarctica. All the details are on the WIA website, wia.org.au. And tomorrow being Anzac Day, there's a new Australian amateur radio contest that's been started up to see how it goes. It's a similar setup as to the Australia Day contest that was run. So all the rules are online at vkcc.com. So that's pretty easy. VKCC, VK Contest Club, that means. The VK Contest Club website, vkcc.com. And the rules are there. I'm trying to get some clarification about logging, whether or not VK Contest Logger can be used. That hasn't come to light at the time of recording, so I'll post it out on the usual email and Facebook locations if and when it comes to hand. But anyway, vkcc.com, and you'll find the link there to the Anzac Day contest. So it starts, I think, at 8 a.m. our time, which will be exciting for us, as we'll probably only hear Western Australians. You don't have to do the whole time. You can do shorter amounts of time. You can do 1 hour on, 1 hour off, 1 hour on, 1 hour off. They don't care. Just send your login at the end of it. See how you go.
In Western Australia and beyond, News West is available on air, online and on demand. Visit our website, vk6.net, to find out how. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News.
Expressions of interest are still open for presenters at Perth Tech in October. The Perth Tech weekend is the 21st to the 23rd of October this year, with the main day of presentations on Saturday the 22nd. What we're looking for is people with a good knowledge of their subject matter and who can present their subject to the audience and take questions afterwards. Perth Tech's equipped with modern audiovisual equipment. Presenters may also wish to conduct practical workshops on the following day. That's up to them. These have proven very popular at previous Perth Tech events. To express your interest, go to our website, vk6.net, and select the Perth Tech page, and then follow the link. While we're talking about Perth Tech, let's talk about what it'll cost you and explain why we tell you that it's free but costs you $20. It sounds a bit like a contradiction, but here's why. Firstly, we funded Perth Tech with the proceeds from a raffle, which we conducted last year. When applying for the raffle permit, we said the funds were used to cover the costs of the event. When the permit was issued, one of the conditions of using the funds for an event is that the raffle proceeds aren't used for catering. So we're charging $20 to cover catering. Secondly, the last time we ran Perth Tech, we offered lunch as an opt-in arrangement. Unfortunately, not everyone opted in, that's paid up front, but everyone bogged in for lunch. For some people, there was a truism, there is such a thing as a free lunch. Lunch went quickly, and the punters collectively paid a huge amount less than the lunch cost us to provide. So, this time, we're charging a non-optional $20 for lunch and morning and afternoon teas, just so you don't forget to pay for your lunch. When the online bookings open in July, you'll be given an opportunity to declare special dietary requirements. Now for the other costs. Camping is $12 a night per van or camper. Same if you're swagging in the back of your ute. Some sites will have power available. First come, best dressed. There'll be a happening on Friday night for those present. At this stage, it could be anything from a bonfire to on-air activity. The site is surrounded by antenna-supporting trees. On Saturday evening, straight after the conclusion of the symposium, the bar will open. Buy your own drinks, and we'll have a sundowner while the kangaroos feed on the green grass of the oval. The sundowner will be catered, probably barbecue, but open to suggestions. There'll be a flat fee for this Sundowner. Pay at the time of booking online. The practical workshops on the Sunday are usually free unless the activity involves material costs that the presenter wants to pass on to participants. Perth Tech should be able to cover incidental costs for the workshops. So that's where we're up to with Perth Tech so far. Later in the year, we'll be calling for extra hands to help with the setting up and pulling down at the venue and making things tick during the day. The pay's lousy, but you'll have fun. Registration's open for Perth Tech on the 1st of July. Keep an eye on the Perth Tech pages at vk6.net. These will be updated regularly.
The News West monthly Club Focus program is coming up soon. In fact, it's next week. You know how it goes. We seek items from clubs to promote the club, brag about what the club did recently, or to let members and others know what's coming up. If your club wasn't represented in last month's Club Focus, and there were some notable absences, it's because someone didn't send stuff to us. Give your club publicity officer a prod. If your club doesn't have a club publicity officer, feel free to jump in and put up an article for your club, and make sure your club gives the job to someone. Promotion is vital, and promotion via several media is important. It's simply not good enough to put all your eggs in the Saturday morning email basket. You need to use every means available, broadcast news, emails, and Facebook. To be effective, your promotions must be timely and planned. A quick shout out to a few clubs. Buenos dias, Bunbury Radio Club. Eyup! To the Hills Amateur Radio Group. Namaste, Northern Corridor Radio Group. Calimera, the Peel Amateur Radio Group. Shalom, Southern Electronics Group. Bonjour, the West Australian Repeater Group. Guten Tag, Weissen West Australia. At News West, we'd love to hear from you. All contributions must be received by noon Friday. Earlier is even better. We prefer MP3, mono, 256 kilobit quality. If you can't do an MP3, another format is okay, but please use the highest quality available to you. If you can't record, no matter, write to us to let the News West team know what you've been up to. Our email address again is newswest@vk6.net.
A few weeks ago, we launched our contesting survey, and we've had a good number of responses. From memory, I said I'd close off the survey at the end of April, so that date stands. So thanks to all those who have already responded, and I encourage more folk to answer the questions, especially people from Western Australia. We've had a lot from interstate. So whether or not you're interested in amateur radio contesting, could you pop across to the vk6.net website and put in a response? Because we're after attitudes, we're after what makes people tick, we're after what keeps people into contests and out of contests. The survey is on the vk6.net website on the contest page, and the survey is anonymous. We don't require you to say who you are, but it's optional there to put your call sign if you want. vk6.net again is the website, the contest page is the one you want, and while you're there, how about exploring the whole of the website? It's a useful resource and it's updated frequently. And if something is out of date, let us know, because we can fix it.
This is News West from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Good morning once again. Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 24th of April 2022. Anzac Day tomorrow, and I'll march you up and down the square. What have I got for you today? I've got a freebie. I've got someone giving away some radio amateur magazines, and amateur radio magazines, in fact. Volume 41 from April 1973 to volume 88, that's 2020. Available free for collection. Collection of AR magazines in good condition, except for years 73 and 78. Small number of issues missing. Can make contact with Chris Walker, VK6 Delta Delta X-Ray. His phone number 0410-027-020. I'll say again, 0410-027-020. Or you may email Charlie Hotel Romeo India Sierra Delta Delta X-Ray at iinet.net.au. Do you want me to say it again? Okay. Charlie Hotel Romeo India Sierra Delta Delta X-ray at iinet.net.au. From Barry, VK6ADI, we have the following. A Kenwood Tango Sierra 430S. It has been dropped to $550 to make a bit more attractive. Also has a TET 33 3-element HF antenna, bands 20, 15 and 10. It's a Yagi in new condition, asking price $550 for that. If you are interested, please contact Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India on mobile 0428 959771 0428 959771, or email bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. I believe there's also a receiver, an ICOM IC Romeo 70 HF communication receiver available from John, VK6 Juliet Foxtrot. A good unit, $400. It's a nice unit. Very few around with the same features. And you may contact John on his email address, which is vk6julietfoxtrot@wia.org.au. I'll say again, Victor Kilo 6 Juliet Foxtrot at wia.org.au. And that's about all I have for you for this week. Thank you for those who called in and participated, and thanks for listening. This is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor. The email address for me, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, as usual, and it's usual 73 from me.
Well, thanks to everybody who contributed to News West this week. The studio team was Andrew VK6 Alpha Sierra, Roy VK6 XV, Mike VK6 KMS, and I'm Bob VK6 PRP, the News West producer. Thanks also to the broadcasting team and those who collect callbacks and report them either to the WIA or via Mark. And thanks, Mark, for your coordination work in that respect. It's Club Focus next week, so club secretaries, club PR officers, or whoever the task falls to, get your stuff in. Friday lunchtime is the deadline for contributions, so get them to us, preferably recorded in your own voice. If you want them recorded by my team, get them to us before Thursday, please, and we can get them recorded by Mike or Andrew. Anything after Thursday, you'll cop in my voice. That's to be avoided at all costs, isn't it? So there you go. Lots of DX out there. It's working on all the bands. Everything's running hot. What the heck are you doing sitting there in your shack? Get on air and make some noise now.